Bible this morning to the 118th Psalm. Simple title this morning, Put Your Trust in the Lord. Put Your Trust in the Lord. From this Psalm, I want to show you some things that I believe will help us as we walk the pilgrim's way. Psalm 118. 29 verses in this psalm. Let's read all 29 verses. And let the word just bless our hearts. I'm reminded of the words of a preacher of old who's now home with the Lord, who said, God blesses His word, not our commentary on it. So let's let the word bless our hearts, and then I'll give some commentary as well today, and we'll trust the Lord to use it in our lives. Let's take a moment and pray. Father, again, it's my privilege to stand and preach. Read the precious word, and I pray you'll bless the time that we have allotted to us now. And may, Father, we be able to encourage the people and be a blessing in hearts and lives, and especially this, glorify Jesus Christ our Lord, for I pray in His precious name. Amen. Verse 1, Psalm 118, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compassed me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacle of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but He hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise Thee, for Thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech Thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, and now, or send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God. I will praise Thee. Thou art my God, and I will exalt Thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He's good, for His mercy endureth forever. And what a psalm as we read through it. Now, we've used this text many times. It's such a precious psalm and such a strong psalm of emphasis upon the work of the Lord and what He can do for us that I want to use this text again this morning and just simply entitle it, Put Your Trust in the Lord. I want to deal with this in a manner of introduction for a moment. We could not say what we need to say really without the contrast here that the psalmist gave us about princes and about man himself and putting trust in them and how vain that really is. We live in a day of great emphasis on the what I would have to term religion of humanism. There is a strong emphasis today on man and his ability. I don't know where folks really get the idea, but somehow or another that's been fixed in the minds that man can cure all of his problems. That you just let him alone. Now, every generation will look back and say, well, they made a mistake, but we'll get it right this time. But it seems the next generation looks back and said, they messed it up, but we'll get it right this time. And that's been going on for centuries, and it's still going on. It will go on till the Lord comes again. Man is not capable of devising a means that will satisfy his needs. If I could, I'd just remind you that even though we have not had major world wars, as of late, we've probably got more wars going on now than if you put them collectively together than we've ever had in the history of the world. Great conflict. Great atrocities are being perpetrated in the world today. And man's not to be trusted, but in the psalm here, the psalmist said it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Well, a lot of things will change a man. This morning, I found out that ill health will change a man. I've seen strong men just almost failed in a moment. And their life has changed drastically, and for all the rest of their lives are changed by ill health. This one I don't like to think about, but we're all subject to it, in senility. Did you realize that as we get older, sometimes we forget things and we become senile and we don't think as clearly as we did once in our lives? One fellow said, there's three things I don't want to forget, and I've already forgotten two of them. And that's the way life is. Man changes, and man is not the best trust. Even though a man might be a man of integrity, yet he's subject to all of the influences of the things of this life. Man will be changed by discouragement. I guarantee you, discouragement can come in a moment and change you. Crippling disease can change a man. And death itself can claim that one that you might have been putting your confidence in. So man is not the best trust. Man will change his opinion sometimes. And sometimes we need to change our opinion. Men have publicly stated an opinion, and later they've totally denied that opinion, have come of a totally different persuasion. You find it in politics. You find it in business. And even in religion. There have been men that have changed their minds about religion. I'm reminded of a young man that I met years ago now. And he had had a change in his life. He talked to me and he gave me a clear testimony of God's saving grace in his life. And he said, you know, I was reared in a religion that is well known in this country. He said, I went into service and went overseas, married a Japanese girl, and she was a Buddhist. And he said, I convinced her that she needed to change her religion and join the Roman Catholic Church. He said, now that I've been saved by the grace of God, I saw that I was wrong there. She's wrong. The first time, she's wrong the second time. Now I'm obligated to try to change her mind again. And I thought, my, you've got your hands full. But he was correct in his thinking that he had instructed her wrong because he had changed his opinion because the truth had come to him as the light of the gospel. And I present to you that man is not a good trust this morning because he's always changing, and the arm of the flesh can always fail. Now, princes are not the best trust, and I'll just deal with this quickly. We all know what politicians are. I wish we had statesmen today. We have a lot of politicians, career politicians, and I think we need some statesmen that will take very seriously the responsibility that they shoulder and look at it not as a profession, but as a responsibility to a nation and a people in a nation today, and would take it seriously what they have before them. And princes, of course, may champion a cause and then abandon that cause. And princes may even want to do right and find themselves unable to do right. So we have a lot in this psalm that speaks of that which not to trust. But I want to put my emphasis on the rest of this message this morning on put your trust in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. There's some things that are said about the Lord in this psalm that would cause us to believe that we could put our trust in Him. There is a resounding theme that goes through this psalm, and it ought to be just a statement of encouragement to you this morning. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endureth forever. The psalm starts with that statement. It ends with that statement. So as we think about putting our trust in the Lord, why would it be right? Why would it be good to trust the Lord? Because He's good. Because He's good. Man in and of himself, basically by nature, is not good. He's a sinner. Now that does not mean that he's going to live in wickedness necessarily. It does not mean he's going to murder somebody. He's not going to do some great act of betrayal or anything of that nature. But he just does not have it in his character to be good. He may do good. And sometimes bad men do good. If you were to go down here into the prison system, as Brother John Yaws does, and you begin to visit on the various wards of the prison, even down on death row, you could go into that scene on death row in the state of Texas, and some of the worst men, as far as acts of atrocity are concerned, are there. But if you were to know all of their life, they may have performed some good deeds somewhere in their life. They may have befriended somebody. They may have been benevolent in an act towards somebody. But the truth of the matter is that God is good because it's in His nature. He is good. Therefore, He does good. Now, God does not good just do good, but He is good. He is good, according to the statement in our text today and in our psalm today. God is good. He doesn't just do good. It's God's nature to do good. And I want to broaden it today. He's good to the saved and the lost alike. I tell you what, as I look back on my life from a Christian perspective, and I see how God was good to me long before I was ever saved by the grace of God. Long before I ever knew the freedom of salvation in Jesus Christ, God was good to me. Of all the years that I grew up, and I grew up in rural America, and I came from a family that was certainly not notoriously rich. Truth of the matter is that my dad was a day laborer on a farm, and sometimes do a little bit of sharecropping. And so there was not always a large amount of money in our home. But God's good to me. I don't ever remember a day in my life that I had to pillow my head at night with a hungry stomach. God's good when I look back on the scenes. And I would today that folks would understand that God is good. All of this good rain we've had as of late, if you were to just drive out north of us here and begin to speak with folks, you'd find that God didn't just rain up to one fence and stop and skip a field and rain in another place. But God was good to that unsaved man who lives down the road. Gave him the same amount of rain that he did the saved man. What a good God we have. Now there's a preacher that's been around for a long time and he talks about God as a good God. I don't know whether he understands that, but I want you to know that God is good because He's good in His nature. It's His very being to be good. And you can trust Him today. If God had not been good, He would not have spared your life and brought you to this good hour where you could hear the Word of God today. But He's good. He allowed this preacher to live a number of years till I came to a place one day that I could bow my knees and from a desperate heart call upon the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved by His grace. God was good to me. When Paul wrote to the Roman church, he said basically this, in somewhat a rebuff, don't you understand the goodness of God? It's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. Just day after day, God worked in our lives in His goodness to bring us to a place one day that we could say, God, I am desperately sorry for myself, for my sin. And it brought us to a place we could confess our sin and deal with it honestly before God. And then call upon the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. So God is good. And God can be trusted this morning because He is good. Secondly, His mercy endures forever. God's not going to change. Time does not change God. He's merciful. Understand this, that we that are saved, we have experienced mercy. Even every unsaved man has experienced mercy. Now, grace is a different story. Grace is extended to those who are undeserving. But God has shown mercy to a lot of us. We certainly did not receive what we deserved. Again, I'll not go into personal testimony, but God was merciful to this man that stands before you this morning. I want you to know that. There were times in my life as well as yours that God could have cut us off in our sin and left us alone to go to a desperate devil's hell today. But He saved us. He was just merciful and spared us till we could come to that place. But time does not change God. God's still going to be merciful in all the ceaseless ages of eternity. And He's coupled that with grace so that we can live in His presence. And we can call Him our Father. And we can be accounted His Son. And the Bible said there's going to be a day when God will not be ashamed to call us His Son. And we'll be privileged to call Him our Father. But He is merciful today. Circumstances do not affect Him. Men have certainly tried to oppose Him. But God in His mercy, even when men oppose Him, will let a man live sometimes and repent. Storms and gentle breezes alike are alike to Him. Does not change Him. He's always merciful in that sense of the word until there is a marked time when He said, "This is enough, and I've shown mercy, and now I will stop this in judgment." As I think about putting my trust in the Lord and your trust in the Lord this morning, why could we trust Him? Because He'll hear an answer. He'll hear an answer. Look at verse 5. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. There's a few things I want us to see in this psalm and in this verse in the psalm. First of all, the cry comes in distress. And so I'm going to just digress a moment and get on the soapbox and then I'll get off of it. But honestly, I suppose most of us are prone to do our best praying when God puts us in distress. We ought to pray, be willing to pray in the best of times. But sometimes it seems like we have to get in distress. David said, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord." But the thing about it I want us to see is that the Lord answered him. The Lord answered him. He acted in his behalf. I would that I had time today to go into this matter of prayer. I want to use just one man and point out to you how that God answers prayer and answers prayer quickly. There was a man named Nehemiah. He was a servant to the Persian king. He served in his court. He waited upon that king. Even though he was a Jew, he was there in Persian capital, still serving the Persian king. Even though there were some Israelites that were back in the land, and they had come and they were supposed to build the house of God, but they had soon abandoned it. But this man, Nehemiah, one day, when he got word that things just weren't faring so well back home, back in the land of Israel, the walls of the city of Jerusalem were still falling down. The gates were still torn down. The city basically lay in rubble. And the house of God was certainly was not going forward as far as finishing it is concerned. Folks had abandoned that and just began to build their own houses, look after their own interests. And this man Nehemiah, in just a moment of time, let's look at it maybe as a distance of from, say, where I am to where Brother Doug McConaughey is right here before me. The king said to Nehemiah, said, why is your countenance so sad? What's wrong with you? And from where Nehemiah was, as he walked to that king, prayed, and God answered. When he got before him, he said, how can I be glad? How can I be of a joyous countenance when the city of my fathers lies waste? And that king said, tell you what you do. You appoint me a time when you're going to leave and when you're going to be back. And you go and build that city again, and you do it at my expense. Now you talk about answer to prayer. God answers prayer this morning. We can trust Him because He's willing to hear, and He does answer. It may take longer than that sometimes, but God will answer prayer. He's willing to hear, and He does answer. So therefore, you can trust the Lord this morning. The best trust you can ever have is in the Lord. Not only will He listen and answer, but He'll act in our behalf. Verses 6 and 7. Look at these verses with me. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? That's a question. If the Lord's on my side, I don't have to fear man. What can He do? What's the worst that a man can do to you? Worst he can do is take your life. And then you're at home with the Lord if you're a believer. That's the worst He could do to you, is to take your life. Might be the best thing to ever happen to you, truth of the matter known. But I won't debate that issue with you this morning. I just want to present something here that He'll act in our behalf. He'll act in our behalf. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me, in verse 7. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. I want you to know that when God acts, He acts completely and to full effect, standing in behalf of the saints of God. The New Testament writer, Paul, again when he wrote to the Romans, spoke of it in this fashion. If the Lord did not spare His own Son, but freely delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not freely give us all things? Who then can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God who justifies. Do you realize today that God acts in our behalf? We can trust the Lord today. Lest our time be gone and I don't get to this point, there's a final point I want to make today. The Lord has made a day of which the results will last forever, in verses 21 through 24. Now this day that the Lord has made involves an infinite plan. It's expressed like this. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. If you've not heard the story, I'll rehearse it quickly for you. When the building of Solomon's temple was in progress, there was to be no sound of a hammer hitting a stone in that building site. All of the stones were cut out exactly at the quarry. They were shaped and they were sent down. Well, in the building of the temple, all of a sudden the workmen found a stone that wouldn't fit anywhere. It was a strange stone. It was tapered and it was multi-sided. They looked at it, didn't see anywhere to fit it, they just pitched it aside. As the years went by and the work progressed, they came to a place that the workmen sent up to the quarry and said, we need the cornerstone. There was one cornerstone or one stone that whole building fitly leaned against and joined together. It would drop right in the center of the dome of that temple and all of the building would lean against it. They sent word up, said, we need that cornerstone. Word came back, I've already sent it. A long time ago, you have it. They shrugged their shoulders and like a lot of us would, they hit themselves on the forehead and said, I don't know where it is. And then some of the older workmen, according to the traditional story, they said, there was a stone that we cast aside. They got down and began to look for it. And they found that stone. And it fit exactly where it was. Now, the prophecy of that is that one day Israel's going to find their chief cornerstone. They're going to understand that Jesus Christ, the first time He came in their behalf and rightfully could have been owned as their king. One day they'll look at Him. But you and I today, we understand what God's done for us. But I'm looking at a day now That stone that was rejected by Israel became the head of the corner. And God was working a work in our behalf today as Gentiles. We're saved by the grace of God because that one was rejected by another nation. And in turn, he turned to us who are Gentiles. The stone which the builder refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. There's one day I want you to know that stands out as so far above every other day in the history of this world. Outside the city of Jerusalem on a hill called Calvary, there was the very Son of God, Son of Man. Both terms would fit him well. And for some reason or another, only known to himself and his own heart, our Lord loved the term Son of Man. And he spoke of himself quite often. I believe because he identified with us in love. But on that day, he was doing something that would last for all eternity. And at the end of that day, when our Lord Jesus Christ had accomplished what he intended to accomplish, he said, "It's finished. It's finished." We can trust the Lord today because he has made a day of which the results will last forever. It involves an infinite plan. It overcomes a human impossibility. Our Lord had said to some disciples one day, "Who can be saved?" The Lord said, "With men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible." God was overcoming human impossibility that day and making possible salvation for the souls of men. God sent forth his Son. And I present to you today that there is a risen Christ. A risen Christ. And that one who has risen from the dead is able to save to the uttermost. Everyone that will come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives, to make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. How are you going to be saved? Through Jesus Christ. How are you going to stay saved? Through Jesus Christ. You can trust the Lord today. Come back to my text, my premise. Put your trust in the Lord. He can be trusted today. He'll save your soul, sinner. He'll save you today if you trust him. He's able to save. I can't save you. I'd encourage you today to be saved. I'd point you to Jesus Christ today. But I can't save you. But Jesus Christ can. Put your trust in the Lord. Saint, if you're discouraged today, just put your trust in the Lord.